And you can hear that play again for the next 7 days on the Radio 3 website. Next week, the Royal Court Theatre's Olivier-winning production of Mike Bartlett's 2009 play Cock. That's at the later time of 9:30. Next tonight on Radio 3, it's time for World Roots, presented this week from Denmark's capital, Copenhagen, by Lopa Qatari.
I'm sitting on a grassy mound inside a 1920s exhibition hall in the very centre of Copenhagen that was originally built as a car showroom. For the last 3 years, during the last week of October, it's been home to WOMEX, the annual gathering of the world music industry. And from my vantage point here, I can see the whole of Scandinavia, Norway, Finland, Sweden, and of course the host nation, Denmark. And looking out beyond them, we've got Brazil, Korea, Cape Verde, Australasia, and many, many more, all selling their musical wares. What I really love about WOMEX is that we get to hear showcase concerts of artists we've never heard of before. And over two World Roots programs, we're going to bring you the best of this smorgasbord of music. So for starters, here's a band called The Other Europeans. A great coming together of gypsy music from Europe and the Jewish klezmer traditions of New York. Well, that was the other Europeans on the main stage here at Womex. And I'm sitting here with Alan Byrne, one of the finest musicians of the sort of Jewish klezmer traditions. But perhaps most importantly tonight, Alan, you're here as the music director of this great group, the other Europeans, a kind of super group, a coming together of a shared musical tradition.
Yes.
Tell me something about how this group came together.
Well, in 2007, I had the idea to investigate this very interesting tradition that existed for a few hundred years in what's today the northern part of Moldova, which was known as Bessarabia at that time. And this is a place in the world where urban professional musicians, who were originally Jewish musicians and called themselves klezmorim from the Yiddish, made music together with urban professional musicians who were originally Rom, Gypsy, who call themselves Lautar. And the interesting thing about this part of the world is that it's really one of the very few places where professional Jewish and professional Gypsy musicians worked hand in hand. In fact, they even intermarried and formed a kind of a separate community. And so it's a real model of an ethnically mixed musical ensemble. And you know, when a few years ago, after the unification of Europe and the creation of the EU, people started asking questions, what's a transnational European identity? We think we know what it is to be French or British or German, but what is it to be European? And I thought, well, Jews and Gypsies have been showing us what it is to be European for hundreds of years, and specifically in this place. So, but in a way which was not really accepted as a European identity for a long time.
So to a certain extent, this is a community, well, it's very much a part of a national European identity, but very much seen as a kind of outsider to it.
Yes, it is. Well, Europeans, in the era of nationalism, in order to be considered a European, you had to have a nation state. And of course, Gypsies and Jews did not have nation states. For that reason, they weren't considered Europeans, although they had been living on European territory for a couple of thousand years in some cases. Thousand years, any case.
But there is this kind of revival going on in
yes.
this kind of music. I mean, you hear a lot of the music from the great Balkan and the Gypsy bands mm-hmm. being remixed by DJs in clubs. So there's something about the music that is at the heart of a community, in
yes,
a sense.
Yes, that's right.
Even today.
But the interesting thing is that klezmer music is not a Balkan music. And there are really profound differences between Yiddish music and Balkan music, and between contemporary Yiddish music and contemporary Roma music also. So what was interesting is, in view of all of those differences, to consider that there was a community which actually dealt with those differences and understood all the different ways of playing. But that community basically came to an end because of the Holocaust. The community in Bessarabia was decimated by the Holocaust of both Jews and Gypsies. And following the war, it revived a little bit, came back. But then the Jews from that area all left to go to Israel. So for a couple of decades, there have been basically no Jewish musicians left there.
This is quite a super group you have here, Alan. But it is a coming together of two very distinct kind of groups of musicians, isn't it?
Yes. In order to put this together, since the premise was that we have klezmer musicians and lautari musicians sort of combining 100 years ago, I thought we should start by creating a klezmer band and creating a lautar band. The lautar ensemble I put together by first contacting the great cymbalum virtuoso in Budapest, Kan Balak. And through some other friends, we got some musicians in Moldova and some musicians in France. There are actually 14 musicians representing 8 different countries here. And the klezmer musicians, of course, I knew because I've been at klezmer festivals and involved in the revival for 30 years. So I knew who were the people that I wanted to work with. But, I mean, our rehearsals were, if you were to see our rehearsals, you'd probably think of them as more like sensitivity training exercises than musical rehearsals. Because we're really learning how to listen to and respond to each other. And not by being loud, but sometimes by talking softly or by playing softly. Anybody in this band can start a solo or can basically say, I want to take over here, and everyone will let him. Nobody will ever fight for that. I mean, the thing is that these were the greatest musicians probably in Europe at that time. I mean, the musicians that we're looking back to, and we stand on their shoulders, you know, we hope to. Thank you.
That was The Other Europeans, where Eastern Europe meets the US, performing at WOMEX 2011 in Copenhagen. In Wild Roots today, we'll be hearing musicians from pretty much across the globe, from Mexico, Lesotho, from Northern Europe, and right now, from faraway Vanuatu in the Pacific Ocean. Here's Mars Melto and the Melanesian All-Stars with a song that's close to his heart.
We all have the right to freely determine our future in the land of our ancestors. But they brutalize all my brothers, and they come and say that we have no dignity, just good enough to live in the slavery. They said we have no dignity, just good enough to live in the slavery. But then my colonization bring us so much illusion. Now that we overstand what they really put in our hand, we say free West Papua. And of invaders, free West Papua. Indigenous people are come, we say free West Papua. And of invaders, free West Papua. Indigenous people are come, come and come. Do you really think violence is your solution? You can brutalize my people, but not a nation. So we, the children of the Simpson, we say, no more assassination. This is little oil. We remember him and the way, and the way. Them colonization bring us so much illusion. Now that we understand what they really put in our hand, we say free West Papua. And so we invade it. Free West Papua. Indigenous people like oh, no more logging. My ancestors still raise. No more logging, no more mining. Reforest, my ancestors still raise. So we say free West Papua.
Free West Papua there, a song from Mars Melto and the Melanesian All-Stars. And a song very much, I think, in keeping with the kind of music that you guys play in Vanuatu, you know, one about social consciousness and a sort of political statement. Is that right, Ari?
Well, yeah, this is a song, West Papua, written by Mars. And yeah, it speaks about the struggle that is happening in West Papua now with the indigenous people still under the Indonesian rule, and they're struggling for their self-determination.
Mars, is that something that very much drives your music and you think the music of your area?
Yeah, I think there in the Pacific we're not musician because of money or something like that. We're musician because of mostly all the artists were militant. Because West Papua, we link with them. We're from Vanuatu, but we bloodline cross over there. And like when they kill someone there, it's like they kill someone of us. Because, yeah, our ancestors come from there.
Now, Vanuatu is right out there in the South Pacific Ocean. Many people probably heard of it as being one of the first places on the planet that celebrates the new year coming through. What's it like?
Whoa, Vanuatu, it's like hundreds of islands separate in a Y shape. And just two islands were developed, like, with cars and buildings, and the others just stay just as before. Vanuatu is warm, very hot, coconut trees, beaches, so we go fish. It's close to hundreds language. We used to be a condominium, French and British Empire. We just get our independence now, 31 years ago.
It's a very young republic, isn't it? 1980.
Very young. Very young, yeah.
Is music very much tied in to the culture of the archipelago?
Well, we have traditional music, like all the chant. We have an instrument like drum, slit.
The music, though, that you've brought this year to Womex is much more contemporary, though, isn't it? It's a collaboration that the two of you have got. You know, you're from Vanuatu, you're from Papua New Guinea area, and you've got David Bridie from Australia. It's still driven by yourself, but it's a very different expression of your music.
Yeah, I think so. But because in Vanuatu, like most of the place in the Pacific, we just knew in the music, and all the music that came out from us, it's more the music that we heard in the radio or something that we look on TV or now the internet thing. So it's, we are mingled of this and mixed with, up with the traditional way.
You have two beautiful flutes on stage with you, really large. Are they made out of wood or bamboo? Or?
Bamboo. In the old Melanesia, we call it pau, and we use it for harvest or planting in the garden when it's time for it. Like to plant yam or thing like that.
And Ari, the one that you're playing, it's played more as a traditional flute.
Yeah, the flute I was playing is called kwakumba, and it doesn't have any finger holes.
No
finger holes. You just close the end and you change the pitch, you bend the pitch with your hand. That flute, the kwakumba, it comes from the highlands of Papua New Guinea, and usually it's played in pairs. So one represents the masculine, the other the feminine, and so they dance with each other.
They have a dialogue with each other. So when you two play together, the flutes, that's also yet another kind of modern take on a tradition.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think Vanuatu talking to PNG.
Yeah. It's more than thick, but it's a too ancient instrument.
Tell me something about kawa iredi, the song we're going to hear.
Kawa is a drink. We take it when the sun goes down, when all work's finished at the garden, at the office or whatever. And then we go drink this kawa thing. Yeah, some chew it in the mouth, some with the stone, some only woman chew it in the mouth.
So it's a slight hallucinogenic or an alcohol of some sort, no?
Not really hallucinogenic, but it just relaxes you.
Yeah, it chills you out completely. Yes. So in other words, once you start, there's no way you can go back to
it. No, you can't.
So kawa, you ready?
Ready.
700, one more blow 50. At the 700, three more blow 50. At the 700, three more blow 50. At the 700, four more blow 50.
Mars Melto and the Melanesian All-Stars from the spring of the Southern Hemisphere. We've now moved on to the autumn of the North. I'm here in a children's playground in the late afternoon in the centre of Copenhagen, just outside the Church of St. Marcus. And the fog is only just about lifting, revealing the greys of the city and its buildings, which for right now have been brightened up by the vibrant colours of Sotho sounds, resplendent in their multicoloured raffia hats and woolen ponchos. And here they are, warming up the air with their music.
I'm gonna
The fabulous sounds of Sotho sound from Lesotho, a landlocked country in the very tip of South Africa. And Risenga Makwando, who's the speaker of the group, is going to tell us something about it. Risenga, that was a fabulous song. You're obviously all having a great time playing and singing.
We are having a great time. It's really good. We're enjoying ourselves.
But you're a long way from home.
Yes, we are a long way from home. And it's good to bari kasisutu husamagu bona. In Sotho they say to travel is to see, yeah. It's to learn.
So the music we heard just now, is that very typical of Lesotho?
It's very typical of the soul of Lesotho. The song you've just heard, it's about a flower which grows up on a river bank. That this flower is so beautiful that everybody who walks across the river banks looks at that flower, and that flower, of course, looks back at them and they smile. So they say, oh, just stay there, my darling. When I pass, always smile. Don't forget me. Sentivale. Yes.
And the instruments you've got here are also similarly unusual and yet beautiful in the sound they make.
Yes, they're unusual because in Malaya we have no music shops. There's nothing which exists there. So as you can see, this top here is made out of the inside of a car.
So the big drum.
Yes, the big drum, as you can see, is the tin.
Yeah.
And the top is the inside of a motor car tire, tube.
Oh, okay.
And the sticks are cut off from
the tread of the tires.
And these are just metals which we use for cymbals and rattles. And of course, the guitars, as you can see, is just a piece of wood with an old tin.
Oil can.
And everything is homemade.
It's all homemade, but they all sound beautifully in tune with each other.
They all sound in tune with each other because, you know, it's the only way you can live within the community or amongst people is to be in tune with each other. And the only difference with Sotho Sounds guitar is every member makes their own guitar, because you make your own guitar, you know your own guitar. It's like having your baby, you know your own baby. So here, everybody make their own guitar because they know how their guitar will sound and feel like when they play them. So that's why they are in tune with each other.
Tell me, Sir Risenga, how did this group come together?
This group come together even today. Oh, you asked me, you're making me excited now. The group has come together simply because these guys, including myself, although I speak pretty good English of the Queen, we were shepherds. That's one thing we have in common. Yeah. When we grow up, you send into the mountains to look after goats and sheep, and you spend months and months in the country. Away from home, looking after the animals. Yeah. But whilst you're there, you make traditional instruments, and of course you make your vision of what the guitar is like. So the band comes from the same village called Malaya village, and then the band started playing. So now we're going back 11 years ago. But what has made it more possible for us is that, you know, people always think about Africa as charity, where you have to give. And of course, the poor had to ask. We, as Sotho Sounds, ask the government of Lesotho, a lot of charitable organizations, to give us the money when they were then selected for WOMEX. But we didn't get any help. So we basically decided, right, the charity wants to come when you're dying, when there's hunger, when there's some great disaster. But the Sotho Sounds, we're trying to basically lift ourselves up. So what we did was, okay, they cannot give us the money, forget the government. Right, let's put some money together. So we basically did that, and only one charity called Hope gave us some money, but we had to top the rest as a group. And that's why we are here today. If we wait for the rich man, we'll never get nowhere.
So tell me, Risenga, the music that you play, the songs that you sing,
yes,
are these compositions that you're writing yourself, reflecting of what's happening in the day and the people you're with, or are they old traditional songs of the shepherds?
We create the songs. A lot of us here cannot read or write, so the only way we can express ourselves is through this song. So the song is about the community, the spirit, not only about Lesotho, about what affects people the world over.
So what's this next song you're going to sing for us?
This next song, I think, is a Fapanosak. Babylon system. We become so diverse. This is about Babylon system. You know Babylon system?
No, tell me about it.
Babylon system, the universe knows it. It's today you have big strikes and struggles in London. People are protesting. Yes. In America, people are protesting because they say the big people are taking all the money. In Lesotho, basically, the rich are getting very, very rich, and the poor are getting very, very poor. But this song, Babylon System, talks about also people who beat up their wives, their children, treat their children bad, people who basically, they are, in short, unholy. But, you know, the unholiness exists also in a little village where you only see goats. Mm-hmm. So this song is about Babylon system. So ngadi katara he.
Why you respond? Why you forget?
Now, World Roots has been coming to Womex here in Denmark for the past 3 years, but in all that time, we've never featured a Danish musician. We thought it was time to put that right. So I was joined in the Womex radio studio by one of Denmark's leading fiddle players, Harald Haugard.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous, Harold. It's a real pleasure to have you here in the Radio Theatre.
Thanks for having me.
Now, am I right in saying that you took up the fiddle so that you didn't have to dance at the local,
true,
the local
yes,
dances? Tell me something
yeah,
about
sure.
that.
Yeah, sure. It was. You know, there's been music and dance in my family way back in generations. And yeah, my grandfather was a traditional accordion player. My mother was very into folk dancing, and she had folk dance classes and stuff like that. And she thought it was a very good idea that her son should dance with the girls from the class. And
how old were you then?
I was about 6-7 years old.
And oh, how embarrassing!
Yeah, it was very embarrassing. The son didn't think that was such a good idea, to be honest. And then she made me a choice, dancing or fiddling. And the fiddle came and rescued me from the girls.
So at the age of like 6-7 or whatever, you started playing with your mother and the family at the local dances?
Yeah, sure I did. I played, and that's, you know, that's really the main background I have in my music, mm-hmm. my art, is the fiddle music, the dance music. So I played for dances like 4 times every week for years. When I was young, and I came to my grandfather, he had his own dance hall. I played together with him and learned the tunes and a lot about life, because you do learn a lot about life when playing for dancing.
For
sure.
Just.
Yeah, sure.
How would you distinguish the style of say Danish folk music to maybe other Nordic styles? Or
well, it's difficult, you know, just in a short interview like this to really get strict about that. But Danish music is far more related to English and Scottish music than let's say Swedish music is, because we only have a sea in between us, the North Sea. And, you know, like let's say 200 years ago, it was much, much easier to travel on the sea than on the land. So there has been a lot of exchange, and we have imported a lot of the dance culture, music culture that you have over there in Scotland and England, and made it Danish. For instance, this jig I played here, we do have a lot of jigs in Denmark. They don't have that so much in Finland and Sweden. They do a little bit in Norway. But jig is a very common thing in Denmark, as it is in Scotland and England and Wales.
Mm. Are there very distinct sounds for different parts of Denmark? I mean, where are you from? You're not from Copenhagen.
No,
are you?
I'm not. I'm from Fyn, the central island in Denmark, from the southern part. But the most important thing is, and has always been in folk music, is what you, as a fiddler, as an artist, as a person, bring into that music. There is this tradition, this given tradition, in this, from this certain given area, but then it's all about you, what story you want to tell in that traditional music, because that is what tradition is all about.
So what story are you going to tell us now?
Well, I could tell you a story from my new album.
Oh yeah, please
and,
do.
And it's just being released these days. It's called Den Femte Søster, which means the fifth sister. And I'm going to play you a Sønderhoning. Sønderhoning is a dance belonging to the small island Fanø on the west coast of Jutland, where the next stop is England, actually. Fanø has a great tradition of dance, a special dance, Sønderhoning dance, and this is a newly composed Sønderhoning by me from the fifth sister. It's called Vesterland, Western Land.
Thank you.
So from the autumn chill of Denmark, let's end tonight's World Roots with a little bit of heat and romance. Here's Mexican accordionist Celso Piña and his own take on Colombia's music of courting couples. Cumbia, of course. The sound of the Americas, Mexico meets Colombia, in the hands of a real adventurer, Celso Piña, a multi-award winning accordionist, singer and composer. Celso, cumbia from Colombia, what made you take it up as your own? I mean, you're from Mexico.
Porque en mi tierra, que es Monterrey, hay muchos acordeonistas que tocan guapango, redoba, polka.
In Monterrey, the part of the country where I come from, people play lots of different styles on the accordion: guapango, redoba, polka, chotis. So I wanted to do something different, and I started to listen to records of Colombian accordion players doing cumbia, like Aníbal Velázquez, Andrés Landero, Alfredo Gutiérrez, Los Corraleros del Majagual. This kind of music was available in the black market, and it was being played at parties, and people liked it a lot. They immediately wanted to dance. So then I decided I wanted to learn to play cumbia myself, and I did it just from those records. This was just around the mid-1970s. I was the pioneer of this sort of music in Monterrey and in the whole of Mexico, because before me, nobody played it.
In Colombia, cumbia is the music of courting. Where a man is looking for a woman and a woman is looking for a man. Is it the same for you, Celso?
Yes, that's very true. It's like a ritual between people very much in love. So with the dancing, things start to get very hot. And when I play on stage, I don't fail to get very hot and sweaty too. Look at me right now. But I like all of these Colombian styles on the accordion very much, because they are different. You've got vallenato, which is very soft and romantic. But there's more energetic styles too, like the puya, which is very fast, and it always whips everyone up into a frenzy. It's a style more suited for competitions between players.
But this form of music, this cumbia tropical that you created in the 1980s, has become very popular in Mexico, hasn't it?
Well, what we've created is rather a sort of freestyle, because if anything, we've done a fusion of cumbia with rock, hip-hop, rap, and with vallenato itself too. So this type of cumbia goes well with all sorts of different styles, and that's freestyle. And you can have three or four styles combined or alternated in the same song too. And the great thing about it is that because it's so free, it appeals to all sorts of different generations. And when I play, I've got kids of 14 or 15 up to mature adults coming.
Tell me, Celso, why Womex? I mean, this is a long way to come. What are you looking for when you come to Womex?
Well, it was my European agents who convinced me to come here because they thought it would be a great opportunity to showcase my music to an audience outside Mexico. And here, there are people from all over Europe and from all over the world. So for me, this is a big chance to take my music out to the world, to England, Germany, Holland, wherever they want me. And I know this is a really important festival.
Thank you. por Mangangueleño, Celso Piña, gracias. Y arriba México, y arriba todo el mundo.
Celso Piña, ending World Roots from the Womex World Music Trade Fair in Copenhagen. The programme was introduced by Lopa Qatari and it was produced by Roger Short. Well, there's another programme from Womex in 3 weeks' time. Next week, their World Roots comes from the London Jazz Festival and a concert given by the Iranian classical Comanche player, Kehan Kalhor. Lucy Duran presents that programme and it starts at the earlier time of 8:30 next Sunday evening here on Radio 3.
Hello, I'm Jez Nelson. Now, the 2011 London Jazz Festival is well underway. And on tomorrow night's Jazz on 3, we present a concert from one of the most important jazz bass players of the last 40 years, Steve Swallow. Swallow first found acclaim in the 1960s, playing double bass with New York artists like Jimmy Giuffre, Art Farmer and George Russell. But since the 70s, his work as a leader and sideman has been entirely on the electric bass, collaborating extensively with Vibes player Gary Burton, guitarist John Scofield and pianist and partner Carla Bley. So join me, Jez Nelson, for music from the Steve Swallow Quintet, recorded at the London Jazz Festival on Jazz on 3 tomorrow night at 11 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
Yes, that's on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also hear it in high definition online. The time now is 11 o'clock and it's time for Jazz Tonight, Jazz Lineup, also recorded at the London Jazz Festival. And it was yesterday, in fact. Here's Julian Joseph.
Hello, I'm Julian Joseph, and welcome to a special edition of Jazz Lineup, coming from the Claw Ballroom at the South Bank Centre as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. It's been running for 19 years, and 2011 marks the 11th year of its association with BBC Radio 3. On today's programme, I'll be featuring music from the pianist Robert Mitchell, his aptly named trio, and later on from tenor man Dennis Baptiste with his quartet. First on the bill tonight, a ubiquitous multi-reeds player, composer and band leader. He's led and co-led many bands, including Partisans with Phil Robson, and an assortment of trios and quartets with British and American rhythm sections. And tonight, it's a mixture with his firmly established quartet. He's been touring his second quartet album called Urban Theme Park, released earlier this year, and he employs the talents of Ollie Hayhurst on bass, the imaginative pianist Liam Noble, and from a noble American jazz family bloodline, Gene Calderazzo plays the drums. The artist in question is Julian Siegel, and Julian will be playing the tenor saxophone, soprano saxophone, and the bass clarinet. So, opening with Keys to the City, please give a very warm welcome to Julian Siegel, Liam Noble, Ollie Hayhurst, Gene Calderazzo, the Julian Siegel Quartet.